It is a great honor to be here this evening with you. The first time that I preached outside of my country was almost 1 year ago, and it was in this congregation. So this congregation has a very special place in my heart for me and my wife. And also, this is the first time that I'm going to preach in English, so it's good for me. And I hope for you also. So, please open your Bibles. And we are going to read again Matthew chapter 1 from verse 18 to 25. Matthew chapter 1 from verses 18 to 25. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord has bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. This is the word of God. So one of the most terrible things is to see someone facing the death in an accident. Think about this. When someone is in the middle of a fire and everyone is looking at him, but nobody can save him. The situation is even more terrible when the suffering person realizes that hundreds of eyes are upon him, but nobody can save him. Actually, he sees how the person leaves the place, leaving him alone, almost dying and being abandoned. What an awful situation. But on the other hand, there is nothing more beautiful, breathtaking, than when someone saves a person that is facing death. There's nothing more beautiful than when a person, with all his strength, with all his love, with all his mind, approaches to the one who is about to die and saves him. So tonight I would like to analyze these verses and talk with you about the gospel. And I think this is very necessary in the Christian church. And I think in these days, to know about the gospel is very important because of the situation of the actual church. Maybe we know about the gospel, but we have the fruits of the gospel in our lives? Do you know God really? Do you know the gospel just in your mind? Or has the gospel changed your life? That's the question. So, I want to preach about the gospel. That is, not our good behavior, but about the Word of God. How God is glorified in saving sinners. How God is glorified even saving Christians. Saving even false Christians. For this, I want to share with you not 3 points, not 2 points. I want to share with you 2 main questions. The first one is, what does God save us from? And the second is, how does God save His bride? And we are going to see the answer for this question are these 2 names of God. The first is Jesus. He comes to save us from our sins. And how? According to His name, Emmanuel, God with us. So the first question is, what does God save us from? So to have a good answer for this question, we must look some of these verses, but in their context. So please go with me and read again verse 18 and 19. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with the child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. The first thing that we can see here is that we have an engagement. Mary was espoused to Joseph. In the context of that time, they were already married. In fact, there was a formal agreement between the families of both, but mainly it was a covenant of love between Joseph and Mary. The only thing that was missing was to quickly consummate his state of marriage and love through sexual relation. Now, think about this. There's an engagement. There's a bond of love between this couple. But in the middle of this process, Joseph realized something about his wife. She was pregnant. Can you even imagine the face of Joseph? This just man? Possibly, his thoughts were, how it is possible that my wife is about 4 months pregnant if I have never had intimate relations with her? How is that possible? The only answer for that question was one word, sin, adultery. Adultery, that horrible word that is capable of breaking and disappointing any relationship. I think that adultery is the last word that any happy marriage will like to hear, is that word, adultery. No marriage wants to hear that word in their families. Adultery. So many things are in our heads when we think about adultery. How that is possible? If they love each other, when they saw them in the church, they look so nice together. They are the perfect couple, maybe, Joseph and Mary. But thinking Joseph, my wife is pregnant. How is it possible that my wife, my dear Mary, was intimate with another man before me? Why did Mary break her covenant bond of marriage, Joseph thought. Now, in the midst of this entire sinful situation, according to Joseph, he tries to save Mary. But save her from what? Joseph tried to save her from the consequence of her supposed sin. And the consequence of adultery was death. Thinking in Joseph, his lovely wife, pregnant, and he knows the consequence of this situation, death. Would you like to see your wife pregnant from another man and then knowing that your wife deserves death? That's an awful situation, isn't it? So in the midst of this situation, Joseph tries to save Mary from their death. Mary must have been stoned to death in order to pay for her sin. She will be stoned in front of many witnesses, and nobody could save her. Again, we have the same picture of the beginning, dying in the midst of witness and being abandoned. But Joseph wants to save her. But how? So read again, please. Verse 19. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example. A public example of what? You know what? Being dead. Stoned. Was minded to put her away privily. Joseph, listen to this, very kindly and lovely and loving, wants to save his wife by putting away privily. Just think about this. Joseph, very kindly and loving, wants to save Mary by not exposing her to shame of her sin, but also by putting away privily. Joseph, a just man, wants to save his wife by separating from her, by putting away privily, that is, by a secret divorce. Save this situation through divorce. This is not beautiful. Save your wife by divorce. Joseph wants to save her from the consequence of her sin through divorce. But while he was meditating on this, an angel appears and says, verse 20 and 21, But while he thought on these things, and now this means, but while he thought on these things means that he was meditating on this. These things was in his head all the time, every hour, maybe every day, thinking about this. I have a pregnant wife, not of me, and I want to save her privily. By divorce, many things in his head. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. The angel appears before Joseph and tells him two important things. The first thing, the son that his wife carries in her womb was conceived by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, we don't have adultery in this situation. So Joseph, relax. There's not adultery here. And the second is that the child must be named Jesus, because his name means Savior. But wait a minute. Joseph, he's trying to save his wife. But now the angels appears, and the angel is putting the real Savior, the real name of the Savior, that is Jesus. So the question is, who needs to be saved? Just Mary? Or Joseph also? Therefore, in this situation, we find the answer to our first question. What does God save us from? And the answer is in the verse 21. And she shall bring forth a son, thou shalt call his name Jesus. So this is the answer. He shall save his people from their sins. So what does God save us from? God save us from our sins, but also from their consequences. So, what is sin? How can we define this word sin? And maybe you can say, but we are Christians. We know what is sin. But do you know about the sinfulness of sin? How terrible is sin? And we are playing with sin. So what is sin? The Westminster Shorter Catechism, question 14, tell us the answer. What is sin? Sin is any want of conformity unto or transgression of the law of God. That is, there is something, you think that there is something better than God's law. There is another thing, another rule, another law, maybe another person that satisfies you more than the love of God, than satisfies you more to love God. It is having this false belief that there is something more beautiful than God's holiness. Sin, it is not to live for God's glory and not to enjoy Him forever. That is sin. To sin is to think and live with this false conception that there is something more beautiful than the perfect husband and King of the Church, Jesus Christ. Sin is finding the satisfaction we should have in Christ, but we have in another person or thing. And as we saw previously, we can define sin as adultery, spiritual adultery, that you intimate with idols, that you have fellowship with idols, that your delight is in the created things and not in the Creator. That is sin. It's spiritual adultery. It's having other husbands and not the real husband and head of the church, that is Jesus Christ. That is sin. But the question is now, who are the sinners? The people that are outside of the church right now? The drug addicts? The businessman, maybe, the politics, or the whatever. Or the sinners are here in this building right now. Please read the Word of God. Jesus came to save His people. That means His church. From what? From their sins. Jesus came to save us from this spiritual adultery. So what are the consequences of sin? And according to Romans 6:23, we know the consequence of sin. The wage of sin is death. Do you remember that Mary deserved for her supposed adultery? Do you remember what she deserved? Death. Therefore, the consequence of sin or spiritual adultery are death. The consequence of sinning against a holy and just God are spiritual death. That is hell. Because God is holy, and because God is real, hell is real. Now, this is an important point because the angel says to Joseph that little baby will save his people from their sins, dying in the future on the cross. And Joseph was part of God's people. Therefore, he needs a savior because he is a sinner. The person who was going to save a supposed adulterer woman needs to be saved now because he realized that he is a sinner. He's a real spiritual adulterer. Even Mary needs a savior because she's a sinner also. This just man, Joseph, who wants to try to serve her wife because of this supposed adultery of her, he needs a savior. Jesus came to save Joseph also, this just man who very kindly and loving wants to tries to save her, his wife, but he needs a savior. So for us, that we are a just man or a just woman, that you are doing good things, maybe here in the church, you need a savior. You need a savior because maybe we can put all these good things like our saviors. We can put all our degrees, our good works, whatever, like our saviors. Joseph needs a savior. In summary, Jesus saved us from sin and hell. So the name of Jesus reveals to us that he saved his people, his church, from their sins. But how? So the second question is, and the second point, how does God save his bride? And now we have the answer. The answer is his other name, Emmanuel. That is, God with us. Although Joseph was being kind and not wanting to expose Mary, he was being just and fair by divorcing her. She was a supposed adulteress. Therefore, he must take this distance from her. But please listen to this. But Jesus doesn't save us in that way, like Joseph tries to save his wife by taking this distance, by divorcing. No. And here's the gospel, my brothers and sisters. This is why Jesus is called Emmanuel also. God with us. So this means at least three things. And please listen this very carefully. While Joseph moves away from the supposed adulterers, Jesus approaches and comes near to the true adulterers, his people. The way in which God saves his people, it's not by distancing himself from them. but by coming to them. Can you see the difference between Joseph, the husband, and Jesus, the real husband? God comes to us by taking a human nature, the God-man with us. But why does God do that? While Joseph wants to resolve the problem secretly and privily, Jesus is fully exposed to fulfill the law, but also to, listen to this, to pay the price that the real sinners, us, must pay. And this is die. Jesus comes to die in the place of his church. While Joseph wants to avoid the death of his bride, Jesus exposed himself to die on the cross for his bride, the church. Because he knows that the wage of sins is death, someone must die. So he died in the place of the sinner. He died in the place of these spiritual adulterers. Have you understood the importance of this? There on the cross, Jesus was forsaken by his Father. Jesus paid the price. Therefore, you will never be forsaken. The real husband came to save the real sinners. In John chapter 8, please open your Bibles, I am finishing. John chapter 8, verse 3 and 4. We can read that, and the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. Think about it. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, to Jesus, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. That woman is you and me, sinners. We need to realize that in the midst of the scribes and Pharisees, she is about to be condemned to death. Jesus knows that we must die for our sin. But at the same time, the gospel shows us that he is the one who takes the place of the sinner and put himself in the midst and die for him. Please think in this woman in the midst of scribes and Pharisees. Please think in that situation right now, an adulterer woman here, in the midst of all of us. And she must die for her sin. Please think in your sin. Please think when you, as a Christian, sins against the Holy Ghost, a holy God. When you prefer to delight in the creature or in your possessions or in your behavior and you not rejoice in the glory of God. When you commit spiritual adultery, when you prefer to sin, when you prefer to find that satisfaction in the things that you do, in your position or whatever, and not in Jesus. When for you it's better to have communion with, I don't know why or what things, and not to have communion, a real communion with God in the secret. To go to your knees and seek the face of the Lord and have a real communion with God through the Holy Spirit. And to love the holiness of the Lord. To know that there is no one so beautiful than our Lord. Jesus came to save us. We as spiritual adulterers. So we need to be, stay in that place in the midst and to be judged and to be condemned. But please think on this right now. You are not in the midst of all this witness against you. Who is in the midst of everything? Please behold Jesus Christ on the cross, taking your sin, my sin, and dying for you and dying for me. Jesus knows that we must die for our sin, but at the same time, the gospel shows us that he's the one who takes the place of the sinner and put himself in the midst and die for him. Jesus took this adulterer woman and he put in her place. Jesus, God with us, is in the midst of the witnesses, took the place of the sinner to show everyone, to show all the creatures, angels and demons, and to the whole universe, that he is dying for the sinner. Jesus, God with us, paid it all. Behold the God-man on the cross, dying for you and for me. Hail the serving man and woman who lives in this spiritual adultery. Please come to Jesus. You, that you love to sing this hymn, are you fully trusting in his grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? What does it mean, these words, for you? Just a good hymn to sing? Or is this a reality in your heart? So, to finish this sermon, how can we apply this? The first thing, do not fear. The angel told Joseph, do not fear. Did you put your trust in Jesus? Have you repented of your sins? Hey, there's no hell for you. Jesus paid it all. Where is the rejoice of your salvation, Church of Christ? Where is that rejoice? On behold the Lamb dying for us. The second point is be obedient to the message of the gospel. Joseph was obedient to the message of the angel. Now the Lord tell you, believe and repent. Even you, that you called yourself Christian, are you living beholding the Lamb of God? Or you are living beholding your sins, your hypocrisy, or so many secret sins? And for to cover those sins, we have a good behavior here in the church, a good attitude. Or, I don't know, put your trust on the Lord. Put your faith on the Lord. And finally, what is the foundation of our faith and repentance that the Lord is calling you right now, this evening? Is this a contemplation of Emmanuel, God with us. He is not the prime minister. We are not talking about even the queen. We are talking about the King of Kings, the creator of all the universe. And he is here right now. Behold the Lamb who tells you right now, come to me, sinner, and I will save you because I died for you. Jesus, God with us, Christ is the foundation and end of everything. Soli Deo Gloria. Let's pray. Oh, graciously, Father, save us. That's our prayer to you this evening. save us, of trying to save everyone. But probably we are not saved. Oh, dear Lord, thank you, because you are Emmanuel, God with us. You are with us, poor sinners, but washed in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, Lord, fill us with the Holy Spirit to have this rejoice of your salvation, of the gospel, to love you more every day. And finally, go and make disciples and preach the gospel, not just to the sinners outside of the church, but to us, Christian, that we need the gospel every day. We need Jesus Christ every day. We need a Savior every day and every hour. In your precious and beautiful name, Jesus, Emmanuel, we pray. Amen.